From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by Blue Rugs. Instead, it's supported by the generous donations of our listeners on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thinkingsideways to learn more. And thanks.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
Insufficient data to formulate a reply.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, the podcast. I am Devin, joined per usual by
Joe
and
Steve.
Sup?
Yeah, here we are. Ready to solve another groovy mystery?
Yeah. This week we're going to talk about the disappearance of Rebecca Corium. This was originally suggested by Grace via email in like April of 2015.
A while ago,
which seems weird because that does literally seem like that was a few months ago to me, but
guess what?
It's like a year.
In the middle of the summer of 2016.
Yeah, I know. I'm not really ready for that idea yet. But this is a mystery that I've known about for a while and has been on my radar for a while. It's just this side of 5 years old, so we're going to do it.
Perfect.
I'm just going to do a quick little summary. Rebecca was 24 years old when she disappeared from a cruise ship. Yes, we're doing a cruise ship mystery. No, it's not the one you want.
Yeah, it's not about the other girl that disappeared from the cruise ship.
Not about.
Or that other guy.
Yeah. Or that other person.
Or the hundreds of
people.
Turns
out there are lots of them, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And, you know, I think this is on that drinking game that people keep talking about, but you may or may not know that I worked on a cruise ship for a while. And actually, the reason that I know about this case is I've known about it pretty much since it happened, because the first ship that Rebecca worked on ported in the same ports as my ship did twice a week, I believe it was. Three times a week. Twice a week. And then my last day on a cruise ship was literally like 3 days after she disappeared.
Okay, so are we doing the story?
Yeah, let's do the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch here.
There's
quite a lot of story.
A lot of stuff here, yeah.
Seemed kind of a simpler mystery when you first sent it over, mm-hmm. So I was really surprised at how much content there was to this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. There's.
I can see why people are excited about it.
Yeah, maybe kind of.
It's a little mysterious.
Rebecca was attending Plymouth University, studying sports science and youth studies. When she was a teen, she was a British Army cadet, and she taught sports at Camp America in Maine. Rebecca was from Chester, England. In 2010, Rebecca interviewed for Disney Cruise Lines and was offered a job, which is actually pretty competitive. Unlike the ship I was on, she got to go to Disneyland in Florida for training, which I'm super jealous about. Yeah.
Disney World, right?
Disney World, yeah. In Florida.
I want to go to the one in China.
It just opened. I actually have a friend who opened that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really interested to see
She's
that one.
She's the lead of the pyrotechnics department there.
Oh,
that's kind of awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Because if it is Euro Disney, and it's a trip to be in Disneyland in another language, and I sort of maybe kind of know some of what's going on, but I'd really like to see it in the one that's in China.
Mm-hmm. I'm in China.
The one in Japan.
Yeah, while I'm in China, I want to go see that replica of the Titanic that guy's building.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is.
I want to see the miniature reproduction of the Great Wall as
Okay, so Rebecca was placed on the Disney Dream. I'm pretty sure that's the one. it never really says, but that was the one that I was with, and it's the contract that it looked like she was on. So, and for the record, I keep saying this, I never met Rebecca or anything like that, so I don't worry. But I know people who worked with her. So she was on a 4-month contract. She did a 2-month vacation in between contracts, which is pretty typical. And then she did her next contract on the Disney Wonder, which ports out of LA. And I think her first cruise was actually a relocate cruise, because when they talk about her time on that cruise ship, they talk about going through the Panama Canal. And a relocate, for those who are unfamiliar, is outwardly facing, called a repositioning, which basically a lot of cruise ships do winter kind of bad months in the Bahamas and Eastern Caribbean, and then they come over and do the West Coast Caribbean of the United States and the Alaska cruises during the summer. So they have to reposition. Basically, they go, you know, through the Panama Canal and up, and it's usually a 14-day trip, and guests can go on those trips, but also, you know, obviously the crew has to be on board at the same time.
Well, probably a good idea. Yeah,
they do. Although I was really jealous. I saw when the Wonder was going over for the first time, it was a brand new ship, and they did their Atlantic crossing without any passengers because it was a brand new ship, but they had crew. And then they also did their first run of their 3-day loop without any passengers. And so you would look over and it was just crew members. Like, we had these big laundry buckets that you would, you know, dump all the laundry into. And they were just like running down the promenade, like racing each other. And they got to they had the full run of the ship. And, you know, these ships are big. They're made huge for a lot of people. And it was just the crew.
That would be awesome.
Really awesome. I was so jealous.
Well, yeah, because normally as a crew member, you can't go into all the fun party areas where the guests are.
We'll talk a little bit more about the culture of cruise ships in a minute. But some people can, like I could, but not very many people.
You did mention something that I want listeners to understand, which is the sheer scale of these ships.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled up the maps. And these were
the small ships.
Well, these were the maps that were the ones that are available on the internet from Disney that show, you know, so you can pick your room, what deck you want to be on. And it's still so much space, let alone all the areas that passengers don't get to go to.
Those, I actually looked at those maps. They're pretty representative. It's just like 3 decks below that they don't really have. Yeah.
Those ships are so gigantic that I expected it to be another 5 or 6 decks down.
Well, you can't go too far down because you get into the mechanics.
That's what I'm including when I
say that. You are? Then yeah, I guess. I don't actually know the actual scope of but yeah, they're pretty representative of what.
But they're gigantic. They are big. When you look at these rooms, and the average cabin, I think, was on this Disney ship was 250 square foot.
Yeah, that's a big. To me, that's a big room
on a ship. That is actually quite a bit of room.
But yeah. Did you look at the map? There are 1,000 and 2,000 square foot suites that are just, I couldn't imagine those things. But of course, they're way high up. But it's a huge ship. Tons and tons of room, tons and tons of hallways. Mm-hmm. You get lost on those things.
Yeah, meantime, there's crew members that probably have like 36 square feet, you know, in their little cell.
Closet.
It's less than that sometimes. Less than 36. So there are rooms that are, I would say, probably about 36 square feet, but you share that with like 3 or 4 people.
Because it's bunk on top of
it's
bunk. Bunk. On top
it's
of bunk.
4 bunks up. It's 4 bunks tall. So you've got the 4 bunks, and then there's a tiny little wardrobe for each person that's built into the wall. And then there's 2 desk spaces and 4 safes, and that's it. Oh, and a bathroom. Well, actually, in those ones, I don't think they had the room that I was in. I had a bathroom in mind, but it's the kind of bathroom where the whole thing is the shower. You know,
yeah, I know.
There's a drain in the middle of the floor. Yeah, like that.
I think I led us astray there. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I mean, it's all stuff that we will end up talking about.
Yeah,
most
true.
Of it. Rebecca was a youth worker. I think Disney actually calls them youth activities counselors, which. Seems like still an oddly normal name for Disney. You know, this is the kind of place where Disneyland, I think everybody's called a cast member. You know,
true.
They're all cast members.
So now the youth activities counselors are basically there to keep the
kids. They're babysitters.
Keep the kids busy so mom and dad can actually have some fun.
Can go drink.
Yeah.
It's go drink.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds really awful, but it's true. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, you know that's what you do, is you go drink.
Mm-hmm. I went on a cruise and it was no kids allowed, and it was the greatest thing ever at first, until I realized how drunk all the people around me were.
Yeah.
Are they all inclusive fares? I mean, do you get all your food and booze?
Well, okay, so I don't know how DCL works. I'm sorry, Disney Cruise Lines. I'm going to call it DCL. But the line that I was on, which I will not name, is the kind of thing where there are certain restaurants and buffets on the ship that are included, and then there are others that you pay on top of your fee. And okay. I don't think any of the bars, except for, of course, the casino bar, were complimentary. But there were a lot of events where you could get complimentary alcohol. Like when you boarded the ship that I was on, they handed you a hurricane.
A lot of the ships charge you for the booze, because that's where they're making some serious cash. Because I have family that would go on at least 2 cruises a year, and they were always packing their cocktail mix in their luggage.
You have to pack it in, like mouthwash or something like that. They'll confiscate. You're not allowed to bring liquor on.
Do they actually look in your luggage?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
It seems rather cheeky.
Why? It has to go through a scanner and everything.
Oh, really? I see.
Right. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine a bomb on a boat?
I guess that's true.
I'm just saying. This boats are scary enough as is. Mm. So let's talk a little bit about Rebecca again.
That's a good idea.
Rebecca was described as generally a happy person, a kind of a prankster, all around upbeat.
You have to be to work for Disney.
Well, it's interesting. There's an article we're going to reference a lot, which is the Guardian article. And the author of that went on a Wonder Cruise. And he was talking to somebody one of the guys who was re-varnishing a railing, and he said, okay, so what's it like actually, though? What are you guys like actually? And he was like, no, it's not an act, which you kind of have to say.
Yeah.
But I think that the people who get hired for Disney versus other cruise lines are Disney people.
Yeah.
They're upbeat and generally happy.
There's a certain brand of people who like working on a ship for Disney, just like there's a certain brand of people who love to work at the theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was me, they'd have never hired me, because they know I would have gone psychotic in the Goofy costume 2 days in.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, and if you're going to work with the public and all that, you've got to be kind of a happy person.
Yeah, if you have to. There's a natural inclination that they're looking for.
Yeah, and it's Disney specific. I mean, I got hired on a cruise ship, so anybody could, but you have to find the right one. It also sounds like she had a partner or a lover on the ship, but we'll kind of get to that later.
Yeah, I question some of that, but
I do too. Yeah. On to the story.
Okay.
On March 21st, 2011, the Wonder pulled out of the LA harbor, heading on a normal voyage down to the Mexican Riviera. Rebecca sent a Facebook message to her parents saying she was planning to call the next day. Later that night, Rebecca was hanging out with one of her friends in the crew area, and she referred to it as a secret corridor, and we'll talk about that later, too. That Guardian article, the author actually spoke with that friend that Rebecca was hanging out with, and he called her Melissa, which I don't think is her real name, but
no.
We're going to use Melissa because that's the only name I have for her.
There we go.
And she said, she said they were hanging out in this secret corridor, which really just means an unmonitored crew hall. Which there are some. And again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Melissa reports that Rebecca had been trying to peel her fake eyelashes off. It seemed vaguely like the sort of thing that she would do when she was drunk. That's sort of like drunk person
peeling
behavior.
Peeling off Melissa's fake eyelashes.
Yeah. But she had just gotten off work, so I don't think she was drunk.
And that's highly frowned upon, isn't it?
Drunk. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't want to break up this story too much.
Okay.
So we'll circle back around to that.
I would think there'd be nothing else to do.
Again, we'll circle back.
Okay.
Melissa says that Rebecca asked her if she was going to go to the crew bar tonight, or that night, I guess. And Melissa said she would, but ended up not doing so. And then I haven't been able to find the CCTV footage of this next part, so please keep that in mind. But apparently at 5:45 a.m., Rebecca was on one of the internal phones with someone, and reports are that she seemed kind of distraught. And she hangs up the phone, and another crew member walks up to her and appears to ask if she's okay. This is CCTV, so there's no sound.
There's no audio, right?
And I have seen actually stills from this footage, and, mm-hmm. I really can't see how they can even recognize whether it's Rebecca, much less whether she's distraught or not, because it's so fuzzy and so low res.
Well, it's hard to tell if it's... You know, with the low res stuff, sometimes it's easier to actually tell what's going on when it is moving than it is from screen caps.
Probably.
And then again, I don't know, since I haven't seen the footage, I don't know if it's actual screen caps or somebody took, you know, a picture with a crappy phone or what.
Yeah, I've seen this.
We've all seen
the same two or three images, and they are extremely hard to tell what's going on. So I question it too. It's like, okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, so apparently she seems distraught, and then the fellow crew member walks up to her and says, "Are you okay?" And she appears to respond, "Yeah, fine." And people report this is a clear lip reading. There's reports that the phone call was recorded, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
That's what I heard, but that's kind of creepy that they're recording everybody's internal phone calls.
That's a massive amount of data. Mm-hmm. Could you think about the massive amount of data?
Well, that's why I'm not so sure.
All of that would be... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I don't
just
agree
all
with
the it. all the camera footage.
Yeah,
alone,
yeah.
I think it's likely that they have phone records. I think that Disney's telling the truth when they say that they know who the call was between, but I don't think they know what was said. That's silly.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Okay.
Anyway, Rebecca walks down the hall. She's seen, quote, pushing her hair back and putting her hands in her back pockets, unquote, which is apparently typical behavior for her.
According to her parents
and her friends. And then that's the last time anybody's ever seen her.
At least officially.
Rebecca was scheduled to start a shift at 9 a.m. on March 22nd, but when she failed to show up, they obviously raised the alarm and paged her and checked her room and searched the ship and nothing. And this is very important to note because you will see this overlooked in almost everything. It's very important to know that the night of the 21st to the 22nd was a sea day. And what that means, for those of you who don't know what that is that the ship did not port at all. It left LA, and between the time that it left LA and the time that Rebecca disappeared,
it was underway.
It was in the middle of the sea the entire time.
Yeah, out of sight of land, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they never go so far that it's insane. Well, I mean, sometimes they do, but on these routes, they're pretty close to the sea, but it's you don't
the
see
land.
It. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, pretty close to the land, but you don't see it.
They're always close to the sea.
Yeah, pretty dang close, in fact, yeah. So that's very important for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. but I'm just going to keep mentioning that. And they did search the entire ship before they made port. Okay. Very important.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. There was an early report that a fellow crew member said that they had seen Rebecca go overboard at 3 a.m. Obviously, with the discovery of the CCTV footage, that is incorrect. And also, I will just go ahead and state that if you see someone go overboard, you call a code.
You don't just ignore it and go to bed.
You mm-hmm. notify the bridge. And if you don't, actually force somebody to come forward and say, yeah, I saw somebody go overboard at 3 a.m., but I didn't notify anyone and didn't try to render help, could be a terminable offense.
If not having charges levied against you.
Yeah, yeah. Because you are responsible for their death, basically. Yeah. Not entirely, but basically. So I think that that's been added to the story, if I'm honest, but that's just my opinion, man.
Yeah, you would think you would not admit that, at least.
Yeah. The Wonder and the crew of the Wonder did report. They called it in. You know, they let the Coast Guard know. They let the Navy know. The Mexican Navy know. They let pretty much everybody in the area know.
That a crew member lost at sea.
We're missing a crew member. We don't really know when we lost this crew member, but please, can you help us look for her? So the U.S. Coast Guard and the Mexican Navy did search the international waters that the Wonder was sailing through in the time that they thought she might have gone overboard. I think they kind of... First, they were thinking maybe it was 3 a.m., and then they found the CCTV footage, and then they thought, okay, so in between probably 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., she went overboard. And I think they probably used some deductive reasoning and thinking probably it was before daylight.
That makes sense.
Probably.
Yeah,
I'll buy that.
It is reported that the seas were rough at that time, so it's pretty unlikely that she would have just been, you know, floating there, waiting for somebody to come find her.
In a calm spot of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But I heard that night that she went overboard, if she did indeed go overboard, it was kind of rough seas, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It was rough seas. So It would be unlikely without any kind of flotation device or anything like that. It'd be hard. I think, you know, if she went overboard, she would have been lost.
Well, yeah. And the difficulty is not knowing exactly when and where she could have gone in the water. Because I actually tried to track down the conditions of the sea at that time. But what I kept running into is that it's location-based. And then when you get farther out, it was really kind of tough.
So hard, yeah.
I could never say, oh, yeah, no, there was this giant storm. I couldn't find any of that easily.
But I also don't know why Disney would lie about that, and we'll talk about this in the theories a lot more.
Oh, there's going to be a whole bunch of theories of finger pointing of lying Disney.
Yeah, I assume that the security on the ship did a preliminary investigation. However, since the Wonder, like almost every ship that does any circuit kind of around America, is registered in Nassau in the Bahamas, the incident happened, and the incident did happen in international waters. It fell to the Royal Bohemian Police Force to investigate. One officer was assigned to this case, which does seem slim. I will agree with that.
It's only one missing person. I can see why they would do that.
Yeah. It's the fact that it's a big ship.
I totally understand.
And he only arrived after the ship ported back in LA. So I think that would have been like 4 days later. After she disappeared, and he only spent a day on the ship. Rebecca's parents, Mike and Anna Maria, were notified on the 22nd that Rebecca had gone missing. They were obviously there in England, so it was night, very nighttime for them. They were about to go to bed. They had been already worried anyway because, they didn't hear from her that day.
That's right. They were expecting she was going to call.
Yeah. They flew out to LA and met the ship in LA also on the Friday. After she went, Rebecca went missing. They claim they were kept in a car with darkly tinted windows while the passengers disembarked. Then they were taken to meet the captain, who offered condolences and told him that he thought Rebecca had gone overboard. Her parents were then taken to a meeting with some Disney executives and the woman that had reportedly been on the phone with Rebecca at 5:45 a.m.
In the CCTV TV footage.
Yeah.
I know I just hacked all those letters up.
That's okay. It was rumored to have been a mutual friend of Rebecca and this mysterious partner, or maybe the partner, but I think it was a mutual friend. And now, this is a shame, but Mike and Anna Maria didn't get to ask a lot of questions in that meeting because they were very jet lagged. They hadn't slept since Monday night. Right, they slept Monday night. They woke up Tuesday morning, and they hadn't slept the entire time. They'd just flown in from England, and frankly, they thought they were gonna get to talk to this group again, which it turned out no, they weren't. They also have expressed that they really wanted to talk to the passengers on the ship. And now
that's a lot of people to talk to.
It's a lot of people to talk to. It confuses me a lot. You know, the Wonder is approximately the same size as the ship that I was on. That means that there would have been probably, assuming that it was even, partially full.
Round figure.
It was probably like 2,400 guests and 900 crew.
That's
so the
lot.
Likelihood of just randomly finding a passenger who interacted with your daughter, who works on the ship, who was frankly only on the ship for a couple of hours while he would have maybe interacted with her. Seems slim.
Well, yeah, and they could do something like before they disembark, put out something on the PA system so everybody can hear it and say, hey, one of our crew members disappeared. Please come look at a photograph of her. But, they like to make it a happy thing. They don't want to actually be putting stuff like that out of the PA system.
I was
going to
say, I'm going to say this right now. I'm not going to defend Disney. I'm going to sound like I'm defending Disney in this several times. But they're not going to do that because what do they want their guests to do? They want their guests to have a great time and spend a bunch of money and come back and do it again.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to – everything is insular. You keep the parents here. You keep the crew here. You keep the guests over there. And never shall they mix.
Well, and frankly
– and it's too big of a pool of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the thing that Disney probably thought, which is what I think, is that there's no reason. There's no reason for any of these passengers to speak with distraught parents.
Yeah.
There's just not.
That would take days.
And frankly, you don't really, you probably don't want the passengers to know that somebody disappeared from their cruise.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah. And
that's not something you want passengers to know.
There's good reason that cruise lines keep that kind of information kind of buttoned up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and actually not that many people disappear off cruise ships every year, but
we'll talk about this in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rebecca's parents were, after they met, had this kind of short meeting, they were taken to her room and given her things. One of the items they were given was either a pair or one slipper or flip-flop. I'm not quite clear on which one.
Yeah.
It was pink and flowery.
I usually hear it as flip-flop, but I've seen the slipper one too.
Singular.
Yeah. Yeah, one. This slipper / flip-flop had been found the morning of the 22nd near the crew pool.
Up in the bow of the ship?
It's on deck 5 in the bow of the ship. It's pretty typical of cruise lines to have a crew pool, have crew-specific areas. You know, as we were talking about, I would say that like 85% of the crew, well, probably more like 60% of the crew, is not allowed in passenger areas at all. And then on top of that, only like 5% max, probably more like 2% of the crew are allowed to socialize in passenger areas. That means passenger bars, passenger pools, passenger restaurants, anything like that.
So would that 60% you're talking about be people who are working like laundry services or engine maintenance or those kind of, I know these are very broad categories,
yes.
But those
kind
of things that guests have no reason to know you exist for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and there are a lot of ways to get around to every area of a ship. I mean, it's even things like the maintenance people, you're allowed to be in a crew, a very specific passenger area to perform your maintenance task, and then you have to use the nearest crew door and get back into crew quarters and crew area to get to your next spot.
You
can't walk through passenger, you know, hallways or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So there's this whole underground thing.
It's huge.
It's all
secret.
Yeah.
It is. And it's all over the place, and it's really well hidden throughout a ship. If you've been on a cruise ship, you probably were walking right parallel to crew members and you didn't even know it. But, you know, you want to keep your crew happy. I mean, they're stuck in this tin can.
So they get their own bar and their
pool. We would get our own bar. You get your own swimming pool. You get your own lounge area. You get your own mess hall. I wouldn't call it a restaurant. I wouldn't say it's necessarily very nice, but you do get your own mess hall, get your own gym with weights and workout equipment and stuff like that. I mean, it's crummier versions of all the stuff the passengers have, but you get all the stuff that passengers have. And it's a good use of that bow space that, like, what else are you going to put out there? You definitely don't want passengers on the bow of the ship.
No, that's definitely the roughest place to be on the ship.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I mean, that's a good point to make, is that it's pretty much the roughest, most dangerous area of a ship,
gets the most up and down action.
It does, yeah.
And you can see photos of that, by the way. You can see that crew pool in photos.
I would encourage you to look at those pictures, and you can find pictures specifically with crew members, like when, you know, any of the ships are going out of port or anything like that. You can see there's crew standing there, so you can really get a scope of what the size of everything looks like. Because it's hard to tell when it's just a picture of the bow from land. It's almost impossible to tell what's going on.
Did you guys see the Minecraft version of this ship?
No.
No.
Oh, it's really cool. I don't know how to play Minecraft, so I didn't do anything, but evidently you can download. She was on this is the Dream, is that correct?
Wonder.
Wonder, thank you. Somebody built the Wonder in Minecraft. I was like, holy crap, and I watched a quick fly through. It's really interesting.
Hmm.
Wow. People have way too much time on their hands. Like people like us who record podcasts.
I know. What do you do with this thing?
I don't know. I don't know how Minecraft works. Please, nobody send me an email on how Minecraft works. I just haven't looked it up.
Yeah.
We do know how to Google, I promise.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's also some mystery about the slipper flip-flop thing, because there's been some speculation that it wasn't actually Rebecca's.
Mm-hmm. Could have been left there by anybody, really.
It could have. That's true.
Anybody on the crew.
Yeah, anyone on the crew. That's the end of the story, and that's the end of the investigation. The only other things really are that about 2 weeks after Rebecca's disappearance, her family got an email from a bank that said that there had been some activity on one of her accounts in the last few weeks. This gave the family hope that Rebecca was alive, but I think it was a bit misplaced. And apparently they had not previously been aware of this account. They were eventually able to find the paperwork in Rebecca's things that she had opened this account, but they didn't find her cards.
Yeah, it was just a regular credit card. It wasn't a bank card.
Yeah. I mean, I think she probably got it in America.
Yeah, probably in her training time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that gave the family some hope that she was alive. But again, all this stuff we'll talk about in a minute. And then after that, in that September, Rebecca's uncle...
Of 2011,
found that someone had changed the password on Rebecca's Facebook. And I think they had been maintaining it. The family had been maintaining it just to, you know, if somebody was trying to contact her, or maybe she was trying to contact her, you know, her
family or anything like that. It's an easy thing to keep an eye on and have the access to.
And also to maintain as a memorial.
Right.
And Facebook now will turn pages into memorials, and that changes the way that they work a little bit. But apparently somebody logged in and changed the password, which again gave the family a little hope that she was alive. And then on March 21st, 2012, a woman emailed the family claiming to have seen Rebecca in Venice. She said she was 85% sure it was her. But Rebecca's passport had been in her belongings, so she would have had to find a different way into... Europe.
That's easy. You just go to Libya and hire a smuggler to take you across the Mediterranean. It's
safe. Yeah.
It's cheap. It's
safe
easy.
As a young white woman.
And,
you're right.
And getting from Los Angeles to Libya is super easy.
Really? Oh, you just swim, I think. Yeah.
It would be an adventure.
Yeah. Let's circle back around and talk about just a couple things real quick here.
We've got the CCTV. I cannot say that.
You
stupid
can't.
Acronym. Closed circuit television.
Yeah. So there is closed circuit television, or CCTV, because I can say it, all over cruise ships. And you can imagine, I'm sure, that there are less CCTV cameras. There are less cameras in crew areas than there are in passenger areas. I'm sure you can figure out why. But there are a lot of areas that one could go that wouldn't be covered by cameras in crew areas.
You're not going to monitor every hallway that you know the crew people are going to be in that isn't in any area of any consequence.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you're not as concerned about the crew, frankly, which is kind of, you know, callous to say, but it's true.
You know, when you cast a wider net on their activities, you don't try and focus on every angle of the hallway.
Yeah, exactly. So it is possible that Rebecca moved around the ship without there being any more CCTV footage of her. Although I do think there probably was at least one camera at the crew pool. That seems like the kind of place on the bow of the ship.
That's what the Guardian article mentioned. But it's also notable that the author of that article was very clear in the fact that he couldn't tell if that was a new or a previously existing camera.
No, he said there are cameras on the promenade, the deck four promenade, which is where he originally thought that Rebecca had fallen from until he started talking to the crew. He said there were cameras there. He didn't have access to the crew area, so he would have had no way of knowing if there were cameras in the crew pool or not.
See, I thought somehow he had gotten himself into the crew pool area.
No.
Okay, then I'm wrong, which is not surprising.
if you were on my ship and somebody let him in, you would be in big old trouble. Like a lot of trouble.
Now,
your press pass doesn't get you in there.
Yeah. Well, his wouldn't. That's true, yeah.
And they might not have had one of the crew pool, actually. It's possible. But it kind of looks like, but I can't be 100% certain, kind of looks like from up on the bridge, the control room, where, you know, the captain and the pilot is and everything, they would be able to see down into the crew pool area.
Yeah, so we'll
But I'm not 100% that. Sure that they
we'll
can.
We'll talk about that in theories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The other thing I do want to mention is talked about Rebecca being maybe seeming a little drunk.
Possibly
drunk, yeah. But she was just getting off shift, which makes me think...
I thought she got off her shift at like, what, 2?
She just got... Sorry, when she was trying to pull Melissa, quote-unquote Melissa's eyelashes
off. Oh, the
off.
Earlier.
Yeah,
okay.
That she had literally just gotten done with work. And so that makes me think that she was not drunk. Because it's super unallowed. And that's not to say that people don't break the rules. And yes, it is true, Joe, that it's almost the only thing to do as a crew member when you're not working is to drink. But there are a lot of really, really harsh restrictions on that. And again, I didn't work for DCL. I worked for a different cruise line, which again, I'm not going to tell you which one it was because I don't want you to know. But on the cruise line that I worked for, crew members were forbidden to have a blood alcohol level above 0.05. Like, seriously. This is for a ton of reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
And does apply to literally all crew. In fact, that's the minimum, or the maximum, I guess, is really the better way to say it. Obviously, the higher ranking you go, the less intoxicated you're allowed to be. I was friends with the first mate on our ship. He was one of only four Americans in the crew of 900.
So you were one of the other four?
I was one of the other four. And he was only allowed to drink off ship and had to be under 0.02 at all times when he was on the ship.
Well, if he's not drinking on the ship, how can he even be 0.02?
When they're at port.
When you're at port.
Oh.
So we actually had...
You have to sober up before you walk back on board.
The only time I was on that ship for 6 months, and I hung out with him a lot. And the only time I ever saw him drink was when we had to stay in port overnight in Nassau because there was a storm that we couldn't get out of port. And that was the only time I ever saw him drink. And he had two drinks over the course of like 6 hours. And that was it. And like, that's life for those people. Again, you can imagine why you would require your crew to be that sober.
Oh, hey, we have this major catastrophe. Follow Drunky McDrunkerson over there.
Exactly.
To the lifeboat.
Exactly. I mean, the crew is the emergency crew. I mean, there's no one else to help you off the ship if something goes wrong. And so you can't, I mean, they are like, you know, the crew is the firefighting crew. And it's not just, there's some people on the ship who are specifically firefighter crews. It's like, no, you leave your job that you're doing, your other job, and go fight that fire that's on the ship. If somebody's having a medical emergency and you're on the medical team, yes, there are doctors on there, but there are also emergency medical responders. And they're selected, again, from all different areas of the ship. And so if it happens that you are super, super drunk, like really, really drunk, and something goes wrong... Suddenly you're in charge of trying to get people off a ship. It's this huge liability. On top of that, while we're talking about liability, of course, there's the liability of, you know, if you get drunk and do something stupid, technically the ship is liable in ways of like if you hurt yourself, but also if you hurt a passenger.
Yeah.
In any way.
Can't happen.
Yeah. You can't get drunk. You really can't get drunk on the job, and you're required to stop drinking 2 hours prior to your shift. So I don't think Rebecca was drunk at that time. I think she probably was drunk later.
So this is not World War II sailor drinking style.
No.
Nowhere near that.
Mm-mm.
Can I ask a question real quick? So
yeah.
The closed circuit television of supposedly Rebecca on the telephone, was it what time do we know? What was the...
5:45
Yeah.
Okay. And the friend under the name Rebecca, Melissa.
Uh-huh.
Says that they were hanging out at about 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
And she was supposed to be reporting for duty at 9 a.m.?
I know. That's what I was thinking, too.
This timeline, I mean, I get it. She's in her early 20s. Sleep doesn't matter. I remember those times a long time ago.
Yeah.
But, like, that just seems... That's one of the things that always kind of makes me scratch my head about this whole series of events that are laid out of supposed sightings of her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's not Rebecca in the CCTV footage, but I also don't necessarily think that she intended to stay up that late. I mean, frankly, when I would go out on the ship, you know, my job was less intense than the one that Rebecca was doing, but, you know, I would go out and you stop drinking 3 hours before your shift. You sleep for those 3 hours, you wake up and you go to your shift, and you're probably hungover and you're probably going to hate yourself, but psh, it was fun for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
And actually, sleeping on a cruise ship, best sleep of my life. It's totally dark. There's the slight rocking. You're in this little cocoon of a bunk. It's great.
I guess there's also, the thing that I forget is part of we all have to wake up and get ready for our day and then commute to the job.
Yeah, there's no commute.
There's no commute.
Yeah. That's a little time saving. So,
you could probably wake up 20 minutes ahead of time and shower and brush your teeth and have 15 minutes to just figure out where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And get a cup of coffee, a little brekkie.
Yeah. Theories I think we should talk about.
Are we there?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Unless you want to talk about, you know, the cost of alcohol in crew bar or anything like that.
No. Yeah, what was the cost of alcohol in crew bar?
Cheap.
Really? Good.
Oh, yeah. You could get a Corona for $1 and, you know, a bottle of wine for like $3.
Mm-hmm.
There's no liquor in our crew bars, although I've heard from other people that DCL does do liquor in crew bar, but I think that's silly and I don't think they probably actually do.
That's how they make it the happiest place on earth.
Maybe, yeah. I'm going to get a couple little business housekeeping things out of the way before we actually do theories. First off, this like stood out to me a lot.
Red.
Well, no, it stood out to me a lot and I just got really annoyed. So I just want to say it right off the bat. One of the threads on Reddit that you'll read links to an AMA with a quote unquote former cruise ship employee. Yeah. And this person claims that you just like drop the bodies off at the nearest port if somebody dies on the ship, which is not true. You drop it off at the nearest port to be shipped home. Mm. But the way that it was represented in this whole debate made it sound like a cruise line cares so little for death on the ship that they would just
dump them off.
Drop the body.
So they would
there
just drop them
it.
Off at whatever little island they were docking at. Who cares if it doesn't have airplane service? We just got to get the body off the ship.
Exactly. And that is a blatant misrepresentation.
Way, okay.
I just want to make sure that nobody takes it that way when they're reading about this.
No, they call FedEx, and a FedEx driver is there waiting to meet them when they get to the port.
No, actually not.
Brown doesn't do that?
No, FedEx.
Also, if you read some of these AMAs, you may or may not notice that, yes, 2 years ago I did share my thoughts on this case on one of those threads. And yes, I'm saying almost the exact same thing now, but you guys keep asking for this story, so we're going to do it anyway.
All right.
Right? Okay.
All right.
So now it's really theory side.
Now it's really theory.
Because the housekeeping's out of the way.
Housekeeping's out of the way.
Okay.
Right. Great.
First theory, murder.
Murder. I'm liking this one.
It's possible, but I find it really unlikely.
You think it was Mickey Mouse?
No, I don't think it was Mickey Mouse.
A vengeful Mickey.
Hey, everybody!
I've got a big knife.
Sorry, that was Towley. I know.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Okay, so I've read, and you will probably read too, from people who were, quote, on that ship literally a week before, unquote. And they said that their cruise was perfectly smooth sailing.
Yeah.
So there's no way that the sea could have been that rough. And obviously the crew is lying about it.
Mm-hmm,
you know, do you know what actually dictates the sea and the weather and stuff like that? The weather.
Yeah.
And do you know what is liable to change pretty quickly? The weather.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually weirdly going to defend these people a little bit because the one time that I went on a cruise, it was beautiful weather the whole time, except for the last night heading back to Florida. And apparently, we went through some pretty rough seas. The person who was with me was nauseous from it being really, really rocky. I, however, had been partaking of the booze to the point that I had passed right out and was soundly sleeping through the whole thing and had no idea. So I can see how people was... The sea was great the whole time. I never noticed anything. I drank like a half a bottle of booze.
Well, but it's also possible that a week before the sea was perfect.
Well, yes. And the sea changes on an hourly basis.
Yeah. So, for sure. So that's absurd.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
That they're lying about the weather? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's silly. I also don't... It doesn't give me such a problem that the bank card was used.
No, because either. If somebody had murdered her and taken her bank card, they would have used it multiple times, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I don't know if you guys... I've got a few things like Netflix, for example. They just automatically ding my card.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auto withdrawals are the best thing ever.
They're
handy.
You never miss a payment.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's great.
And so it could have just been that.
It could have. You know, one of the things that you do when you're on a cruise ship is you get a P.O. box. I mean, like, not everybody does, but it makes life so much easier if you go and get a post office box. And you just pay the monthly subscription on your card and pay the monthly fee or whatever, not
so
subscription.
So there's a bajillion monthly
There's
things.
So many things that could be. So it doesn't really...
We don't know what it was that the withdrawal was for.
I could not tell. I mean, it was hard to tell. A couple people I saw online saying, "Oh, it was found to be a subscription," but I think I think they were just assuming, like we are, that it was a subscription, because I wasn't ever able to find anything to substantiate that.
Even the credit card company wouldn't tell their family what it was.
Yeah,
yeah. Kind of jerks.
You know, even if it was stolen and used one time, I mean, it's not so hard to get into other crew members' rooms.
Thinking about just an online hack, but yeah.
There's a lot of different ways that somebody could have gotten that. I mean, also the Facebook login. I don't know about you guys. You guys don't actually use Facebook that much. My boyfriend also does not use Facebook that much. And he gets little emails from Facebook all the time saying, "Hey, somebody tried to access your account from this place." And I think they do go after those accounts that aren't used as much because the people aren't going to notice that they're hacked if they're not using their account. Mm. So that doesn't...
I guess I better start using my account more.
Actually, you know, weirdly is, evidently they do this on a regular basis, but I didn't know this, is you guys heard about the recent leak of all the LinkedIn information?
Yeah.
I apparently was in that batch, and Facebook figured it out because they forced me to change my personal account password recently.
Right, but they forced you. It didn't just happen automatically.
Right, but what I'm saying is that I could have been hacked at any time and would have not known it. It's only because of them, because I had no idea I was in that leaked batch. Mm-hmm. And those leaks come out much later. So it's very easy. I agree that she could have just been hacked. I mean, how many times have we had people try to join our Facebook group who look like perfectly normal people when you review their online profile? And then as soon as they get in, they're offering to sell sunglasses, Ray-Bans for super cheap to everybody?
Yeah, exactly. It's impossible to tell. So I guess I'm not so bothered by that either.
Yeah,
and sometimes people share their passwords with other people too.
Yeah, one thing I was reading about online was, and actually this person made a really good point, was that, you know, if somebody you love dies, I mean, you know, friends have passwords, or it's easy to guess what their password is, and it's not unheard of that you would, you know, log in to their stuff and, you know, maybe you get drunk and change the password. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you want to go in there and delete some derogatory stuff.
I was going to say, there's that rule among friends that, hey, if I die, there's some certain things that you need to remove from all of my profiles on my computer.
I mean, it was significantly later than that, though. I mean, it was in September,
I understand that.
But it would explain having the password.
But this does nothing to explain the whole murder theory. So
there's not any good substance to the murder theory. Except for the vague rumor that Rebecca might have been in a love triangle between her lady love and a quote-unquote older man. I really can't find a source for this. I can't find any additional information other than basically that one sentence said four different ways.
So basically Minnie found out about Mickey and her?
Yeah, something like that.
That's
and pushed her
logic?
Overboard, yeah.
Well, the thing about it is the cruise, besides the swimming pool up in the forecastle of the ship, where else was there that the crew could go where they were actually in an open place with a railing where somebody could push her overboard without anybody noticing?
Guaranteed no one noticing?
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Well, were there places where crew could go mix next to the railing with the passengers, or were there places set aside besides the pool where the crew could go and have a nice little outside little promenade space and, you know, that they could look at the ocean from or something like that?
I mean, the promenade space, but they would have to be approved. I mean, you know, Rebecca was approved to be, would have been approved to be in certain passenger areas. The promenade would have been one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't, since I don't know who her lover and this older man were, I don't know, you know, what, if they would have been allowed up there or not. And I also know that it takes but a second for somebody to walk out a door onto the promenade.
Okay, but, you know, I was just thinking, if you wanted to murder a crew member on a cruise ship, you know, if you wanted to murder one of your fellow passengers, if you're one of the guys that can afford to get a really nice cabin with your own balcony and everything, then you could lure somebody into your cabin and then murder them and just, you know, push them overboard. But
they're going to be on tape going to your room.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, there's ways around that. You just cut the cable to the camera.
That's not a thing, but okay. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're all like installed in the wall.
Or, you know, one of my other tricks.
It's not what you see at the 7-Eleven with the big coax cable looped underneath it.
But you can just take a sticky note and just stick it to the lens, and because
nobody will ever go, "That's weird. This person disappeared, and this line actually went orange for a while."
That also assumes that there's only one camera in a hallway, which I can tell you is not true. They're about every 6 or 7 doors in passenger areas.
Well, anyway, but we're off topic here. Let me get back to what my original point was: is that if you wanted to murder somebody and you had your own balcony, everything, yeah, you could probably get away with it. There's ways to do it, but if you want to murder somebody down in cruise quarters, how the hell are you going to get their body up to somewhere where you can pitch them overboard without somebody seeing?
Leaving
aside the cameras, too.
The addition to that is that, you could technically do that off of the promenade, but again, it'd be really hard to guarantee that nobody would see you.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it in the crew area, except for the wall's too high. In the crew pool area, to pitch someone over.
That's why
I'm gonna pull the famous card, which is you're making a presumption. Okay, so let's say that somebody has a reason to kill her. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they dumped her overboard. They could have stashed her in something that they knew was going to go away in a not so well monitored area.
Mm. Well, you know,
that's completely plausible too.
Do you know?
And
how they...
actually, a hell of a lot easier.
You know how they deal with trash on cruise ships?
They compact it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you shove her down the garbage chute. Mm-hmm. I know that that sounds cruel. She's already dead.
She's not going to mind.
But it's what people, if people have done this stuff before, is they shove the body in the compactor, and they run the compactor, and then when it gets back to wherever it goes, and it pushes out that big giant cube of disposed Mickey ears... there's a body in it, but nobody knows because it's picked up by a forklift and driven to the landfill.
And the rest of the garbage probably doesn't smell that great either.
It actually smells probably worse than a dead body does.
And it's a complete and total inside. It would have to be, for murder to have worked, a pretty well-engineered or spread across several people to pull off.
I agree. And I don't think that's... what happened?
Yeah, no. I mean, getting to the trash compactor again without being seen, going to be kind of hard.
Not really. I mean,
or you'd have to have a friend who reset the switch on that camera so that it, you know, I mean, there's loops and all of that. But let's just say somebody shut it off or shut off a bank, and you run and you toss it in, and nobody knows, or you know how to get to it in a blinder. There's a bajillion, I'm using air quotes, ways to make this happen. I don't believe any of them.
I will just say in defense, everything used to transport anything on cruise ships is a little bigger. So, you know, when you're talking about trash cans, you're talking about at its smallest, those 20-gallon big old guys that you roll. I mean, they have, you know, 3 or 4 times that size of things that collect trash as well. So, I mean, all you have to do is get to one of those
and then
bury it a little bit.
And then lift it up and dump it down the chute.
It's not really a chute, but yeah.
But there is that whole question of why would anybody want to kill her?
Why would anybody want to kill her? And then also, you know, you have to have an access key card to get into the dump.
Yeah.
Because, you know, actually, as it turns out, just not every crew member is allowed to dump things.
For good reason.
Yeah.
Like what we just talked about.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll go ahead and say that's a bad theory.
I think so. Besides which, I don't know, you spent time on a cruise ship. Was it filled with unhappy psychotic people, or was it filled with, you know, fun-loving, you know, outgoing types who wouldn't be likely to murder?
Well, it's interesting. I feel like the people who know about the disappearance rates from cruise ships are always saying things like, yeah, it's just drifters and rapists are the only people who work on cruise ships. And I would
say... because it's in international waters and you can get away with it.
Well, and I would say that it is true that there are a few, but there's 900 people on the crew, on the ship. Like, the odds are in the favor that there's going to be at least one or two crazy, creepy, skeezy people. But I wouldn't say any of the people that I worked with were psychopaths.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say any of them would probably murder anyone. And you know who to stay away from as crew members. You just do. If somebody's kind of skeezy, you stay away from that person. And you know where the cameras are, and you make sure that you're there if that person's coming. That's just what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I know sounds crazy, but it's true. I just don't think that somebody probably murdered her. that silly. Because why?
I don't see how it would pull off.
Okay. The next theory is based on the fact that somebody was 85% sure that they saw Rebecca in Venice.
So she faked her disappearance.
Yeah. But almost literally impossible because it was a sea day and they searched the entire ship. So she would have had to have some accomplices to not only hide for that entire day, but also to get off the ship, because I don't know if you know this or not, but the comings and goings from a ship are highly monitored, and there are only like,
'cause it's a customs situation,
two ways to get off a ship, and there are security guards at all of those points, both on the ship and landside. It'd be almost impossible for her to just slip by unseen.
Yeah, and you gotta, don't you get a, like an electronic card when you board a ship as a passenger?
That you have to scan as you have your crew. If you're a crew member, you have the same thing.
What
but
about
you have to scan it on
so?
And off. They don't, and that's how they know if everyone's on the ship or not.
What about the passengers, though?
So? Yes.
Yes.
Crew and passengers.
Crew and passengers. Everybody has a card.
Yes.
All right. So here's how she did it. So she borrowed, she lifted a card from one of the passengers, or actually borrowed it, and then attached it to a carrier pigeon once she was safely on shore.
Yeah.
And the pigeon brought it back to the passenger.
Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that passenger wasn't trying to leave the ship that day.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
One of the things I've noticed, though, is that nobody anywhere mentions whether any lifeboats were missing. So I have to assume they didn't do a count, and there has to be a missing lifeboat. So
no.
She must have taken one.
Those are really easy to tell if they're
those are
quite obvious.
Yeah.
Really obvious.
I'm going to piggyback on that idea. I haven't seen a whole lot about it, but, I mean, people would then have to make this kind of a... Disney was complicit in the whole thing, and this is a Chesler situation. You guys have seen Fight Club?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the boss in Fight Club, his name was Chesler, and it was he got him in such a bad situation to blackmail him to say, you're going to pay me, and you're going to let me go. And that's the kind of situation that this would have to be.
Yeah, it would have.
It would have to be a... Rebecca caught somebody doing something so horrendous, and Disney said, well, either you're going to sleep with the Mickeys or you're going to disappear. And they said, okay. She said, okay, well, get me off of this ship. Don't tell anybody, and I'll never don the ears again. And that's insane.
Yeah,
I think so.
But
yeah.
It's on the same level of, I feel like,
she faked her disappearance.
Faking the disappearance.
Yeah. I also think that kidnapping is in the same vein.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
Silly.
How do you get her off the ship?
Well, not only how do you get her off the ship, but like why do it on a sea day?
Well, why?
Right? Why do it overnight when there's no reason for her disappeared? Why don't you wait until she gets off the ship in port, or when they're in port and you can take her off the ship? Like,
well,
where are
precisely.
You hiding her?
I mean, it's absurd. I mean, it's kind of like committing armed bank robbery on a ship when there's no bank there. I guess that's not a perfect analogy, but you kidnap...
It actually makes a lot of sense, though.
You kidnap people on land.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't kidnap... You could, I guess, kidnap somebody on a ship and then try to smuggle them off the ship somehow, but it really seems like an absurd thing to do.
I'm going to go back to the same question again, though. So if that's the case, if she was kidnapped, why is Disney hiding it?
Yeah.
Because there is cameras everywhere, and everything is so regulated. Why are they just going, I don't know.
Well, yeah. And here's
no idea.
And here's the deal. If she was kidnapped, where's the ransom demand? We can only assume she was kidnapped in order to be murdered, in which case we're back to murder, I guess.
Well, she could have been kidnapped for sexual slavery, but that's a different story.
That's true.
I was figuring the ransom demand was pinned to Pluto, and we know how good he is at delivering things.
He's bad at it. The next theory is suicide, which I'm kind of willing to entertain, but I'm just going to blend it with the next theory as well, which is it's an accident. So either it was an accident or it was a suicide.
Accidental death or intentional
death.
Yeah, I know, and I've gotten emails from people about suicide, people that know more about it than I do, you know, and so I don't claim to be an expert on it, but from what I understand about Rebecca, she was pretty happy. I'm sure she wasn't totally happy and cheery every 100% of the day. But
nobody is.
Nobody is, but she seemed like she was a pretty upbeat person.
Yeah, and I would agree with that.
Not likely to be
suicidal. Not that necessarily means that you're not suicidal, but...
No, it can happen, but yeah.
Yeah, it can.
It just seems like she wasn't the type.
Yeah. So I guess even if it was an accident, it probably was a bit of an intentional accident given the conditions. And, you know, again, this is trusting that the conditions are what Disney says they were. We've already said that the weather was probably bad that night. And in fact, I've read that the weather was so bad earlier that night that whoever was commanding, I think it was more around midnight that this happened, but whoever was commanding, who was on the bridge, looked down and saw someone down there.
In the pool area?
In the pool area, a crew member in the pool area, and sent security to get him in because it was too dangerous.
Was that the same ship? Because I'd heard something about someone saying, I had a friend that was in the pool area when they shouldn't have been in high seas and they had to be rescued and then they were shipped home.
I thought it was the same one, but I could be mistaken.
Well, and this is the problem with
the
stories.
I thought it was the same night, even.
It's always mixed with a ton of personal, anecdotal stories. Well, this time I knew about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm kind of wondering, too, what it's like to, you know, you got a full pool out there. What happens to that water? Does it just all slosh out and then just run out through the scuppers and that's it?
Chlorinating the ocean.
Then they got to refill the pool at some time.
They have a whole ocean to use.
You could really get pushed around the deck by a big wall of water if
sure
you're out
could.
There. Yeah. I can see why they would take people out of there.
Yeah.
Well, the wall in the crew pool area is...
The bulkhead.
Damn you.
Yeah.
Appears to me to be something like 6+ feet high. Would that be correct?
I've heard it's like 10 feet high.
I don't think it's 10 feet. That's why I was saying you should look at the pictures with the people around it. I think it's probably 6 feet. I don't think it's probably 10 feet.
Okay. That's why I'm unsure, because I've looked at the pictures and I can't get a good guess. But
there's no people out there.
But,
you see this thing where it says, oh, well, she probably just climbed up there just to sit up there to look around, and then it was an accident. Something happened and she rolled overboard because of that. But again, I don't know how tall it is.
So I think it is. I mean, I think it's 6 feet tall. In that picture, I just showed around, and again, I'm encouraging everybody to go find. You can see crew members
standing on the wall
next to the pool, and then standing next to the wall, and it does look like they can see over it, at least, you know, within a couple inches, maybe.
That would actually make sense, you know. I mean, be kind of prison-like to have these 10-foot walls surrounding you when you're up there, you know, enjoying yourself in the pool.
And to your point, I don't have a problem with the idea that Rebecca might have climbed up, not the side of the wall, but even more, you know, forward on the bow.
Or even towards the rear of it, you know, more towards where the bridge is and stuff like that, the superstructure of the ship.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a lot of room there.
Yeah,
but you could hop on. So the way that it's set up, again, go look at pictures, is... on the bow, it's covered, and then it dips down into the crew pool area.
Big oval area.
Mm-hmm. But in right next to where that dips down is these big pods that hold life rafts that, you know, expand. But you could hop onto one of those. They're not very tall. They're, you know, 4 feet tall. You could hop onto one of those and then hop on to the bow pretty easily. And having been on a cruise ship and drunk on a cruise ship, one of the most refreshing feelings, especially when you're getting a little stir crazy and a little upset, is to have sea wind blowing in your face.
I'm the king of the world.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, which is, again,
we're in that Titanic moment.
That exact thing is why passengers aren't allowed to be in that area. But I don't have such a hard time making the leap of, you know, maybe it had calmed down. Maybe the weather had calmed down. Random swells are a thing.
Nice little sneaker wave.
Yeah, it's not so hard for you to be on the bow of the ship and to have it just go boom, boom, down into a little, you know, ditch.
A depression.
Uh-huh. Depression area, and you would just slide right off, or a ship, or, you know, a big wave comes up, or whatever.
I don't know what's typical practice on a cruise ship, but do they have, like, lighting, spotlights, anything like that? Would anybody up on the bridge have been able to see her if she was up on the bow, or would that have been in darkness?
It probably would have been in darkness.
Okay.
I don't think it probably would have been complete darkness. There's probably some standard minimum lighting in an area that people can easily access.
Yeah, but
it's under spotlight.
No, but you also weren't supposed to be there out there at night. I mean, they didn't lock it off, but you weren't supposed to be in there. So there's probably a little lighting, but there definitely weren't big old spotlights down there that the, you know, the people in the bridge could have looked down and said, oh my God, there's a person down there.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a good question, because you always see this thing of,
Well, if the crew had been in the bridge, had been paying attention, they would have seen her if she was in that area.
Maybe not.
Actually not lit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever been in, I mean, think about, you know, in your car when the dash lights are on, but you can't see your headlights. It's kind of hard to see outside because you've got that in that illumination in front of you.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. That's why I would think that they would not want to have a lot of bright lights there.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know what they use. They might use night vision these days for all I know.
No. But, I mean, it's mostly just instruments. It's mostly not you stand, you know, you're obviously not standing there with the wheel or whatever they call it, steering.
Well,
right?
that's the other thing. People are accusing Disney of negligence, but I don't even know if on modern ships, if people are actually standing there staring out the window all the time. Anyway.
They do
stand. They're staring at monitors.
Yeah, there are people in the bridge, but I was just about to mention is that that's absolutely true. It's not as though you're standing there staring out into the open ocean. You're in there monitoring, but it is not your job to be looking down, you know, in the front of the ship, seeing, is there anything there? That's not the job anymore.
No, probably, you probably are looking at your radar more than you're looking at your windows.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is to stare ahead in the dark?
It's hard. I've tried it.
It's not easy. I mean, it's really easy to get distracted and look around because...
Especially if you just had a joint. After all, they said something about alcohol. They didn't say nothing about pot.
Well, you can't have it. Because it's illegal.
That doesn't
make
it the most magical place on Earth.
Yeah. So here's a list of reasons that I think Disney is not lying about a lot of things. Point number one, they've paid me loads of money to say that they're not lying.
Yeah, this week's episode is not brought to you by
Disney.
Hey, thanks, Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, no.
Point number two is that no one in this Guardian article or anybody that I've seen from Disney Cruise Lines who's been interviewed around this disappearance disputes that it was bad weather. And almost everybody who was interviewed agrees that she probably went off the crew pool and bow area.
Which means that Disney paid them a lot of money, too.
Yeah. The only thing that they're really disputing is that Disney probably knows more than they're leading on to, which is... definitely probably true.
I would totally believe that Disney is not telling everything.
I suspect they are keeping it mysterious. I mean, you know, they probably have more CCTV of the it than they are releasing for a few reasons. One is that they probably don't want to have to answer the hard questions like, is that pool area safe for crew to be in? Is it safe in only certain conditions? And if it's safe in only certain conditions, why isn't there a fail-safe to not allow people out there when it's bad conditions?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if the weather was bad and it was late, CCTV footage may not be good. They may not, I mean, you know, there are reports that Disney has sent one more piece of footage to, like, the FBI to be cleaned up, but there's never been any follow-up on that. And so maybe someday we will see something. But I don't think so.
So is that, are you inferring with that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this is what I'm asking, are you inferring that what's going on is that there was a camera that in a darkened space caught something that could possibly have been into that area?
I'm saying that I am still not happy. I'm not satisfied with there not being at least one camera on the bow. And so I think there probably is at least one camera on the bow that probably did catch whatever happened on the bow that night. But since it was dark, it's not night vision, it's bad weather, it's probably not very useful. It's totally possible that they caught somebody walking out there and sitting down and getting swept off. And then, you know, that raises a whole bunch of other questions, like why wasn't security watching that at that time? And why didn't somebody call that? But... on top of that, I guess there's also a bit of a fear of, if that's not Rebecca, did somebody else go missing? What happened?
Well, but the hard thing for me is that, okay, let's say that there is a camera there. You can't immediately say, why wasn't security watching? Have you ever watched security footage cycle? It's always four panels on a single monitor. These poor guys are probably watching a half dozen to a dozen monitors. I mean, things are easy to overlook, especially when they're poorly lit. You go, it's crew pool, it's black. Ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know you're looking at something else. Something blips by. You don't see it. I mean, like, I'm not justifying that anybody being lackadaisical in their job, but I'm also saying it's the sheer amount of content that they have to be looking at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, the one the one liability thing, and even this, I would say, is questionable. I guess they should have locked off the bow. They should have locked off the crew pool when the weather got bad. They should, you know. Of course, I don't believe this. If I was, you know, I mean, you could probably bring a successful lawsuit for something like that for negligence. If I was on the jury, I would say, screw you. You know, Rebecca was 24 years old. There was probably a sign there saying, hey, don't go out here in bad weather. She ignored it, you know, but that there, might be a reason.
I think there's more than a sign. It's common sense.
Yeah, there's that too.
Right? Hey, yeah. Don't go out here in bad weather. Hey, it's bad weather. Maybe don't climb on that really, really wet, slick thing. Don't do it. Why would you do that?
But yeah. Again, I was on a ship in really high winds, and what did my friends and I do? We went to the highest exposed deck we could, and we
King
did
the
stupid thing. Yeah. We weren't on the rail, but we just leaned into it. And I had a friend who was at a 45-degree angle. Like, this is so freaking cool. Look at what I'm doing. Wow!
Well, you know, again, I will say I've been on a cruise ship. I've been drunk on a cruise ship, and I can tell you that I had some close calls more than once. I had, I think, probably two close calls because I was being drunk and dumb and I was young. And actually, I, you know, again, another reason that this case is close to me is that Rebecca was the same age as me, you know, so we were making dumb, bad decisions on cruise ships at the same time. And I guess I got lucky because I wasn't making quite as bad decisions. But
or in the right place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But people go overboard.
A
crew
lot.
Or guests go overboard all the time. Maybe what is it?
23 a year.
23
on average.
Yeah. And
that's just reported.
And that's out of like 12 million passengers a year. Right.
Right. But I think the estimation is that I think it's something like 15 or 20% are reported.
Part of the problem there is I know that some of the stuff that I've read is that a lot of the numbers that are reported are deaths on board, and there's this whole thing of cover up of deaths on the ship, and it's not really, I mean, as we talked about a little bit before, it's not as wild and hidden, but they make it easily known. This person in crazy seas who was 80 years old happened to be on the stairs and fell down the stairs in wild seas and died. So yes, people die.
They'll have heart attacks or strokes,
right,
or whatever.
But they are kind of apparently brushing under the rug some of this stuff because Devin was in the minority, which is people from the United States on a ship like this. I know a bunch of the people that I met who they were from Slavic. A lady was from Slavic countries. Like, this is the best way to make money. It's not that great of a thing, but I come here for 9 months and I make 2 years worth of wage.
I think the statistic for the cruise line that I worked for is that 80% of the employees were from the Philippines.
Okay.
And that's a hugely marginalized group, and you know, they weren't treated particularly well, and that's true. But you know, I think if they're from the Philippines or from a low income family, they go overboard, you probably just pay the family and don't ever report it, because why would you? I mean,
good point.
You know,
this is where I sound like I'm defending Disney, and I'm not anybody, but
God, no.
You know what? I understand why they're not saying this. You know who would love to have the luxury that the cruise lines have? Is the airline industry.
Yeah.
We all know when a plane goes down, and fewer planes go down now than they did 10 years ago and 20 years ago. I mean, like, the numbers of plane crashes are getting smaller and smaller, and itsy bitsy nothing events, like scary things, are now being lifted to the level of a plane crash. Cruise ships wish airlines wish they had the luxury that the cruise ships do, I'm not talking about.
Yeah.
Not going to talk about it.
Well, one person goes overboard or whatever. You know, it's not huge news. It's like not like 200 people in an airline are getting killed.
Right. That's much more, that's a better headline.
Well, yeah. And as macabre as this sounds, there are people who go on cruises to die.
I could see that. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's one of the things, I know I've talked about this before, but that's one of the things that they will tell you when you are doing your training for a cruise ship is that, listen, people are going to go overboard because they want to, you know, they want to treat themselves to one last nice thing. And then this is a nice place to just go overboard. And obviously that's not a fun fact, but it's a fact. So,
and yeah. And that's something we haven't talked about, which is the chances of being rescued once you go overboard are really
so
small.
Slim. They're tiny.
Well, you have to land. I mean, it's how far do you think it is? 100 feet above the water?
Well, there's that. You got to land correctly.
You got to land perfectly to not break something and knock yourself out.
But you also have to land far enough away from the ship that you don't get sucked under it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. And this is what I think happened to Rebecca, is she probably got sucked into the screws and chopped up a bit, you know, and that put a lot of blood into the water, which attracted the sharks, who came over and sort of tidied things up. So not surprising they never found a body.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's just take sharks out of this. Let's just say that she went into the water and she drowned. She's going to go under.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if the sharks don't get her, ever.
Yeah.
The body isn't going to just be floating on top indefinitely for somebody to find. That's not the way drownings work.
Well, even if it did, it could be easy to overlook. But I really think that she got sucked into the screws, chopped up, and then eaten by sharks.
That's his theory.
That's my theory.
It's Shark Week for Joe.
Yeah.
My theory is that she went off the ship, and I don't know what happened to her after that, but she's not alive.
It's hard to imagine her going off the bow and not going into the screws.
I agree with that. No, yeah. I absolutely agree with that, but I just don't want to think about it.
Yeah, that's true. It is pretty horrible. It is pretty awful.
So I guess,
I was going to say, my theory is that she peeved off Cinderella, who, of course, has the fairy godmother in her back pocket, and that that carriage showed up, and they shoved her in, and then the pumpkin became a pumpkin again.
That could be. I'm still going with Mickey.
Yeah.
Because if you see any of the pictures of Rebecca...
He's a flirtatious... He's a womanizer.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I don't know if you noticed this, but one of the main pictures you see of Rebecca, she's holding this cat. And, suppose Mickey saw that picture. Well, and he wants to avenge all his relatives who've been killed by cats.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so. So in a serious closing note, sorry.
Okay.
I don't think that DCL is doing anything. I mean, I think they're withholding a lot of evidence, but I don't think they're lying.
Mm.
I don't think that they should be holding that information, but I agree that they're probably doing it for very selfish reasons.
Well, I don't even know if that... I mean, I think it's totally reasonable to assume that everything else they have is totally unusable. And
That's what I'm thinking. I think if they had any smoking guns, they'd probably be sharing it with us.
Yeah.
You know, say
if only to clear their name.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously Disney themselves, the shareholders and board of directors of Disney didn't commit any murders. Maybe an employee did it, in which case, well... If they had evidence, they probably would turn it over.
Yeah, they would.
I mean, if you knew about a murderer, would you just keep it quiet, knowing the murderer is going to go out and kill somebody else, maybe even you or somebody you know?
No, depends on who it was.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you don't ride the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does have Johnny Depp now.
Did they put Johnny Depp in there?
Yeah.
Oh, for Christ's sake. People constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I think that's about it.
Okay, well, if you want to see any of the research that we did, we'll put some links up on our website. That website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. You can listen there, or you're probably listening to us on, like, iTunes or Stitcher or any other streaming thing in this world.
Google Play.
Google Play now, too, yeah. So if you're on any of those and you haven't yet, please don't forget to give us a subscribe and, rate and review us if you care to. You can find us on Facebook. We've got a group and a page. You can find us on Twitter. We're Thinking Sideways. We've got a subreddit, which is just our Thinking Sideways. You can email us if you have questions, concerns, suggestions, general praise. That's thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com.
That is.
So you were just shaking your head at me. It made me very nervous that I was saying something wrong.
I was shaking my head because last week you told me we weren't using the R for Reddit anymore. And now you're doing it. So you're just giving me mixed signals.
Yeah, it's true.
You're confusing me. Yeah. As Reddit tends to do, you're making it worse for me.
I know. And other than that, we've got the PayPal and the Patreon if you want to do a monetary donation to the podcast of any kind. The PayPal's good for one-time donations. Patreon's good for recurring donations. You pledge a certain amount per episode and, you get charged for that certain amount per episode. We also have merch if you prefer that.
And if you want to contribute in some other way, we accept bearskins, ivory, anything like that.
Not ivory. We won't take ivory.
Oh, okay. No ivory? Okay. No.
What about giraffe pelts?
Yeah, giraffe pelts, sure.
Only pearls. If they're antiques.
Okay.
Polar bears?
Antiques.
Teeth?
Antiques.
All right.
Penguin?
No.
In general?
Yeah.
Antique or not?
I just don't like penguins.
What about the umbrella holder that is out of the foot of an elephant?
Yeah, there you go.
So all of that having been said...
An ashtray made from a gorilla's hand. Yeah.
All of that having been said, we're going to get out of here.
All right.
So yeah, see you guys next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye, boys and girls.
Bye-bye.